This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Dude, Jerry Jones has said it to Mike Fisher. I saw it on Mike Fisher's Twitter because that's where I go to for sports first. When I want something from the NFL, I go to Mike Fisher because he gets it right. All right? So go to @FishSports and follow him. And Jerry Jones was asked about this deal getting done, and he said, when have I ever not gotten a deal done? And to my knowledge, Kevin,
boom,
he's not right. I mean, he's not wrong.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. I chose my words wrong.
Double anyway, negatives.
Yeah, so we'll figure out.
There was that one cornerback from Oakland.
Oh, Nasamwa.
Yeah.
That turned out good for us.
Turned out great, but he didn't get the deal done.
Yeah, you're right, because he went and signed with the Eagles.
Yeah, but he also got to marry Kerry Washington, so life was okay for him.
All right, let's. Is it time for a history lesson?
Yeah.
Hit the music, Reggie!
I don't know if we call it that anymore.
Oh, okay.
What?
Let's go back to the 1968 Olympics. And I know you're thinking, of course. So.
No.
The 1968 Olympics is known for a couple of different things. First of all, probably best known for Tommy Smith and John Carlos raising their black glove fists up into the air, a very iconic Olympics image. However, what you might not remember is the way that they changed how people would do the high jump with the Fosbury flop, which of course was invented by the high jumper, Dick Fosbury. That's a thing that I felt like you should know. However,
that poor guy.
Well, his name's not even Richard. Okay. All right. Back
no.
to you, Kevin.
See? I'll just make these things up when you're learning about things. So
how does he do the high jump? Was that the arch, the curve?
Yeah.
And then jump?
It used to be people would just like
jump straight
jump.
Over it. Okay.
And he was like, what if we jump back first? And they were like, wow. So clearly, like, he dominated in that.
All right.
But what I want to talk to you today about is the 1968 pentathlon.
What is a pentathlon?
So
glad you asked, Corey.
Yes, I am glad that you asked. So it's an Olympic sport. It combines fencing, freestyle swimming,
sure,
equestrian jumping,
delicious,
cross country running.
Why not?
And pistol shooting. Because those all make sense together.
What kind of pistol?
Like a
flintlock pistol?
I don't know the answer to that
question.
I'll
look it up, Kevin. I got
I'm
it.
I'm very sorry.
So wait, so
you.
It's basically just a contest to see if you're good at being a member of the cavalry?
Mm-hmm. A 4.5 millimeter air pistol.
All
I
right.
Yes. So we go back to the pentathlon in 1968. But for context about why this happened, first, that's right, you guessed it, I need to take you back to the 1965 Pentathlon World Championships, as I'm sure you knew I would. So let's go to Herbert Poelzhuber.
What?
Herbert Poelzhuber.
Poor Huber.
He had competed for Austria in fencing and pentathlon in four straight Olympic Games. In the 1965 World Championships, he was looking good. He had posted a good score in the equestrian. He had posted a good score in the fencing. And he was getting ready to take place in the pistol shooting. But instead, well, he fired all of his bullets into the ground and passed out on the ground.
What? What?
So there's a lot of theories about why exactly this happened. According to the Hungarian publication Tiol, he had drank 10 beers and an entire bottle of cognac before he was set to shoot. So he goes out, just fires all his bullets to the ground, and then he passes out.
Probably expletive deleted.
Gotta be.
Being thrown in there, too.
Now, I don't know if he just liked to party or if it was nerves or whatever the deal was.
From the 682. So a pentathlon is basically just Chuck Norris Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Except for athletes.
You also, you missed an explosive conversation where people got mad about Chuck Norris, whether he was or was not an athlete. So because of this, the Olympics put a policy in place that we'll discuss in just a second. So we fast forward to the 1968 Olympics, where Sweden's Hans Gunnar Lijenwall was competing. Lijenwall was looking to improve after his 11th place finish in the 1964 Olympics. First, he went into the riding, did well. He's in the mix. Then, fencing. He was all of a sudden now in the top three. So with three events left, he found himself in competition for a medal. Now, he wasn't going to win the gold medal because his countryman, Bjorn Firm, was dominating the pentathlon. It was clearly going to win. But Lijenwall did not want to let his team down.
Absolutely not.
But he got really nervous before the pistol event. So, what did he do?
Had him a drink.
He did. He had him a drink.
Shots, 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 shots. Before taking shots.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did. So he drank a lot. And it worked. He did pretty well in the pistol event. Unlike the other dude from the 1965 World Championships, he did not pass out and shoot all of his shots into the ground. So not he didn't get an individual medal, but he did really well, and he helped his team win a medal. Because apparently they had individual and team pentathlon. So he won a medal. Except he did not get to keep that medal. Why do you think he did not get to keep that medal?
Because of that jerk that fired all his bullets into the ground. They passed a rule saying you can't drink before the gun phase of the pentathlon.
You are not allowed to drink whatsoever. The Olympic-
Wait, ever?
Ever.
Ever?
Well, during competition.
Oh, okay.
The Olympics put a rule into place that, by the way, yes, was held up by the World Anti-Doping Authority until a year ago. Who knew that if you had a blood alcohol limit of more than 0.04, that was a performance-enhancing drug, and you would be disqualified.
That makes sense, man.
Does it?
It really does, because, you know, if it's marijuana, maybe it helps you excel, and maybe it helps you perform better. I don't know.
Huh?
It kind of makes sense.
I mean, calming your nerves before an accuracy contest may be something that you need. Yeah, that actually
helps your performance,
yeah,
right?
I play a lot better golf after I've had a few drinks.
Yeah. I throw axes better after I've had a few drinks.
That actually is true. So, because he exceeded the 0.04 alcohol limit set up by WADA, he was stripped of his Olympic medal. He was the first person ever who lost a medal in international competition because of this. That's an amazing story, right?
Right.
What if I told you...
From the 469, where in the Sam hell is this story going? Everywhere. Trust us.
Yeah. Okay, so that story in and of itself, that's amazing, and I really wanted you guys to know that.
Thanks, Kevin.
What if I told you that is most definitely not the weirdest competition-based story from that Olympics?
I would believe you.
I think that you should.
Okay.
Instead, for that, I take you to the horse riding equestrian event in the 1968 Olympics, where German Hans Tott got angry with his horse. It refused to jump over an obstacle. So what do you think happened next?
They shot it.
Nope.
Okay.
He gave the horse alcohol to give it some nerves.
That is also a fair guess.
Horse job.
Huh? What are you doing right now? I don't know if we could say that. No. Instead, he started punching his horse in the face in the middle of the Olympics.
No way!
Wait, so he's playing Red Dead? Because that's the only time I see that.
Like a donkey.
Corey,
so he went Conan the Barbarian on the horse?
Yes! Yes, he did. And this story gets weirder.
Are you gonna fight back or just stand there and bleed?
And then it gets weirder again. Now, Corey, first of all, are you jealous of Hans Chott because he punched a horse in the face?
I don't want to punch a horse in the face. I mean, I
would
can't
that kill
do
you?
It.
I, yeah, I was like, yeah. I'm not sure.
I mean, if I'm that close to a horse, I'll probably die.
He was not suffering from that. So he repeatedly punched a horse in the face. And you're like, well, he stopped and cooler heads prevailed. Except that is not what happened. And the rest of his Olympic team ran out onto the equestrian course and had to pull him off the horse so he would stop punching the horse in the face. And I know your next thought is, well, clearly he was disqualified for this. He received no penalty at all for any of this. Just what?
Because back then, Kevin, punching a horse in the face wasn't considered. Like, was PETA even around at this time? So they were like, yeah, that's how you get a horse to move.
I don't know.
Can you imagine being in the crowd and seeing the horse not jumping over this obstacle, then watching the rider get down and just start having a fist fight with the horse's face to the point to where his teammates have to run out there and restrain not the horse because the horse doesn't care, but the person.
From the 832, this all sounds like a Will Ferrell movie.
And he...
From the 469, I'm so lost, I'm locked in.
From the 817, this is like when you just click on a bunch of random links on Wikipedia. That's what I felt like when I was reading this story. And then he received no penalty, but the guy whose blood alcohol content went above 0.04 legitimately lost his Olympic medal. The guy that punched the horse in the face, not even disqualified.
That horse is his teammate, you know? That horse is his teammate. If you're a bobsledder and you punch your teammate, they're probably going to be like, hey, stop
punching Bob.
Or his sled.
Let you compete.
So I just wanted to take this moment to fill you in about the 1968 Olympics. So many things that I feel like you didn't know.
That guy sounds like he's unstable.
Okay.
Wow.
I swear to God, don't start doing these puns because then y'all are going to be beating a dead horse. That horse was fine, I guess. I don't actually know the answer to that. I'll see if I can look it up. From the 210, that guy is a D for punching that horse.
From the 214, and now we know the rest of the story.
Shout out to Paul Harvey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.